You know, you go places to preach revival, and the pastor sets the tone to whether you're accepted or not. And Brother Hurst loves me and loves my family, and I appreciate that. And any time that we've had an opportunity to have Brother Hurst minister in our church, he's always been such a blessing. And I know that I can't preach anything like Brother Hurst, but I didn't come here to be Brother Hurst. I came here to preach what the Holy Ghost told me to, use the gift that God has given. And I appreciate the way this church has always just received us so much. And I tell you, I love and respect your pastor so much. They're just godly people and good friends that we've had through the years. I just can't wait to see what God is going to do in this service, amen, and what God is going to do in this revival as we just open our hearts and let the Spirit of God move in our lives in a glorious way. It's going to take just a second for us to get all hillbillied up because we've got to get our instruments set up here. But Dee, Friday night, she said, James, these people know music, and I don't want to play that bass in front of these people. She has been playing for about a month, maybe a month, and I tell you what, she just looks cute standing by that bass. I'm being serious. I hope that doesn't kill the spirit of the revival. You know, people giggling a little bit, but I'm telling you, she just looks cute. She's so skinny, and she's standing by that big bass and by the big husband, and the husband's getting almost as wide there as the bass, but I just love and appreciate my family so much. I want you to open your hearts. We're going to sing a song for you that really just ministers to me so deeply. Amen. I believe that God has help for us. No matter what we're facing, He always knows how to come through right on time. Amen.
No one loves you. It seems there's no one around.
Praise the Lord. He never lets us down. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that help is on the way. I don't know about you, but I've been there before where I needed help. Amen. I remember when I was going through the time with my dad with cancer, and the Lord has put a message on my heart to preach this week. When I lifted him into my arms and could feel that manly man, the bones coming against the muscles in my arm, I needed help. Amen. And God was right there, right on time, always. He's right on time. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Acts chapter 1. Brother Hurst just about preached my message. Sunday school class was getting on my message. Praise the Lord. Also going to be looking in Mark chapter 16 here in just a moment, so you can mark it there. Next week, said the preacher, I'll deliver a sermon on the sin of lying. To help you understand what I'm talking about, I want you all to read Mark chapter 17. The following Sunday, the minister went to the pulpit and asked how many parishioners had read Mark chapter 17. Every hand in the congregation went up. Mark only has 16 chapters, said the preacher with a sly grin, and I will now proceed to preach my sermon on lying. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 16 is one of the most powerful books in all of the Word of God. Amen. Acts chapter 1, the scripture says, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, to the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Praise God. Shake somebody's hand before you seated and tell them you're a part of a miraculous church. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. I have been looking forward to revival. I don't go out to preach a lot anymore, just simply because God is doing so much in Des Moines. But when Brother Hurst talked to me, I just say what I always say to pastors. I'll pray because I want to pray. I want to make sure. And the Lord spoke to my heart. We're going to have revival or I wouldn't be here. So I'm excited about what God's going to do. You know, it amazes me the concept that people get about the church, that it's changed. My mother's pastor went to the pulpit, and I hope you're recording it. Send him a CD. It doesn't matter to me. He went to the pulpit and said that speaking in tongues and deliverance was for the early church, and that we don't have to have that. I had a family call me last week from Omaha, Nebraska area, and said, "Brother Snow, could you please send us some CDs and maybe if you've got some DVDs of the service?" Said, "We're starving to death. We've looked all in this area, and we heard about your church, that you're a traditional Pentecostal preacher, that you still believe in casting out devils. You still believe God heals the sick, heals sticks too. Amen. And you believe in speaking in tongues, and you believe that God still moves and works." I said, "That's right. We believe that way." So we're starving. We need something. These aren't people that are critical or troublemakers in their church. They just can't find a church because the pastor walked into the pulpit and said, "I don't want to hear anyone else mumbling in tongues in this church, in an Assemblies of God, supposedly Pentecostal church. I don't want to hear any more speaking in tongues in this church. Do not give a message in tongues in this church. Going to shut down the Sunday night service. Amen. And going to take out all of the hymns that we've sung through the years. We're just going to do it this way. Put all the lights down and get the smoke rolling up off the stage and have somebody come out and hit the guitar lick. I mean, we're just going to change every bit of it." Listen, you can believe it that way if you want to. But I am living in a miraculous church. And in the short 20 years that God has had me preaching this gospel, I have been preaching and being an eyewitness of the miraculous working of the power of the living God. Hallelujah. He said, "Ye shall receive power." The word dunamis that's used here is a word that specifically means miraculous power, by implying a miracle or a miracles, power and strength, a mighty, wonderful work. Listen, God has not changed. Remember, it was Him in the beginning that created this world. Remember, it was Him in the beginning who spoke, "Let there be light," and there was light. It was miraculous. Listen, we didn't come from the goo to the zoo to you. God spoke this world into existence. You and I were created by the awesome, miraculous hand of the living God. He is alive. He's miraculous. Listen, have we forgotten that God always operates in the miraculous? Don't you remember the story of the flood and how that God had that preacher preaching for over 100 years, righteousness? Nobody wanted to get on the boat with him except for his family. But when the rains began to fall, he was delivered and his house. Let me tell you, that was miraculous, the way that God flooded this earth. Remember when Abraham was so up in years. I was struggling there because I looked out and seen a lot of gray hair. It started making me nervous. I didn't want to say old. You don't get too old, you just get cold, right? But Abraham got age enhanced. And because of his age, it was past the time for he and Sarah to have any children. But God gave them a child. Because God still operates in the miraculous. You know, every time that I tell that story, I can't help but think about a lady that we pastored, that we know personally, who had AIDS. Because of her wicked lifestyle, before God had miraculously delivered her, it was nothing to see her running around the church because she knew where God had brought her from. The wicked lifestyle that she lived in had just destroyed her body. Now listen, I don't want to be too specific, but the children aren't in here this morning, most of them anyway. But she had a complete hysterectomy. But after she was saved, she pled with God.
for the Lord to give her a child. And that woman who had no womb bore a child, and that's the most beautiful little teenage girl today. Amen. I want to tell you something. My God is miraculous. About every time I tell stories like that or what I've seen the Lord do, Brother Hurst, I can read minds and I can see people looking around. I'd like to know who that is. I believe it if I've seen them. Amen. Come to me afterwards. We'll talk. We'll get her number. You can call her and ask her about it if you want to. But I just believe that God could do anything. He's miraculous. He is the miraculous God. Hallelujah. Have we forgotten about Moses raising that rod and the waters parting? Have we forgotten about Gideon fighting that battle with 300 men? Have we forgotten that God gave the strength to Samson where he pushed down the pillars of that great building and killed more in his death than he had in all of his life? Have we forgotten today that it was David that God used as a little boy when he walked out on that battlefield and face Goliath? Listen, God is still the miraculous God. Hallelujah. However, the stories would just continue to go on. How about Jesus in his earthly ministry? And he said this himself. He said, greater works than these shall you do because I'm going to the Father. What was he saying? I'm going to the Father and I'm going to send you power. I'm going to send you the dunamis, that miraculous power that'll work in the church the same way it's worked in my life. Amen. In my lifetime, I've heard the stories of men like Jack Coe and A.A. Allen, and people have said whatever they want to about those men, but you can't deny the fact that at one time, God gloriously used those men in a mighty way. Amen. I want to tell you that God is still working. He's still moving in the hour that we live in today. From the beginning to the end, our God is a supernatural God. Amen. First of all, I want to tell you about the miraculous church. The greatest miracle of all is salvation. In Corinthians, the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Don't we remember that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God commended his love towards us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. Oh, have we forgotten, amen, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me tell you, the greatest miracle that these eyes have ever witnessed is when God gloriously saves someone who is bound in the dregs and in the death of sin. Brother Hurst came preach a revival for me when I pastored between here and somewhere else. And there was a man that met him halfway down the aisle one Sunday night, or one of the nights of the revival. God had gloriously filled him with the Holy Ghost. This young man come down the aisle, and I could hear him. He said, Pastor, Pastor, Pastor. As soon as he said that, I knew what had happened before I ever turned around. He had one of those tongue rings in his tongue. And the night before, God had filled him with the Holy Ghost. And Brother Hurst came to me and said, you know, that's wonderful. I've just never seen that. God baptized somebody with the Holy Ghost with a tongue ring in. Well, I knew what he was going to do before I ever turned around. When I turned around, Danny was standing there in the middle of the aisle. And I tell you what, this is the thing I love the most about pastoring. It's people's lives getting changed. And watching the folks that have been in church for years freak out because they don't act the same way we do. It takes them a while to grow and mature, doesn't it? Amen. And there Danny was in the middle of the aisle. Hey, Pastor, look at my tongue. I said, what happened, Danny? He said, last night I got home. He said I was taking a shower, and he said, I got to thinking about how God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And he said, I started speaking in tongues. And he said, it was just like death just grabbed a hold of my chest. God said, you're going to worship me with that thing in your mouth. And he said, I reached in and took it out. He said, Brother Snow, look what God is doing in my life. Amen. Praise the Lord. What Brother Hurst hadn't seen is a few weeks before, Danny had come down to the altar, knelt down, addicted to meth, addicted to prescription drugs, addicted to all kinds of wickedness and vile lifestyle. But when he stood up from that altar, He was completely delivered from meth. Amen. He came back to church. He said, Brother Snow, I don't understand it. God delivered me from meth. Now, I don't know if you know much about that, but you don't just get off of meth. In fact, if you get hooked to meth, you're hooked for life unless you get hooked with Jesus. Amen. And he could change it all. God delivered Danny. Turned his life completely around. He said, Brother Snow, I don't understand. God delivered me from meth, but I'm still smoking. And he said, I want to get free from these cigarettes. Well, he prayed a few weeks. He come back to me and he said, Brother Snow, God spoke to me and I didn't want to hear what he said. I said, well, what did he tell you, Danny? He said, the Lord said, I had to deliver you from meth, but you can get rid of the cigarettes. Do you love me enough to give them to me? Danny said, that's why I'm here tonight, preacher. And he pulled them out, dropped them down on the altar, and said, I'm going to walk away from him, preacher, because I love God that much. He just stood over there trembling, shaking all through the service. He's crying when the altar call is given. He's the last one in the altar, just shaking and trembling. Amen. He's gone through his troubles. He's faced his trials. But Danny's serving the Lord. And can I shout it in this room this morning? That is the greatest miracle, amen, that the church can produce, is a life that is bound by sin, that's completely turned around by the power of God. Praise God. Amen. Here, it's been about 6-8 months ago, a man walked into our church. He had a black beard down to here, all bushed out on the side, and just looked rough. Marks on his face, tattoos everywhere. Walked in and just sat there and stared at me the whole service, gritting his teeth. He'll survive. My babies have done that a lot of times in church. I mean, he just sat there through the whole service. He's staring until the altar call is given. And the Holy Ghost softened that heart. Got up from where he was at and came to the front and knelt down and just wept, cried, wept, prayed. God gloriously saved him. Amen. Here just a few weeks back, he came in to me. You listen, when you get saved in my church, it's time to get busy doing something. And if you're going to live holy and live right, you're going to be doing something. That's why we can tell all the people that are still heathens, because I don't let them do anything. But if they're getting saved, they're getting really turned around, I use them right away. He's an usher now in our church. Shaved, looks sharp. I mean, sharp looking guy, but he only owns one suit. He came back in the room after we'd had an usher meeting and tears just running down his face. He said, Preacher, I'm going to have to quit being an usher, because I only own one suit. Poor, poor, poor. He said, I want to look my best. And I feel like that I need to look my best representing the church, and I just can't. I said, Brother, would it offend you if I got you a suit? I've been wanting to get you a suit. Been wanting to get you a couple. Because I said, God wants to use you. I said, when I walk in this church, when I walk in and I look around, you're one of the first people I look for in this church. There's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. Amen. What a miracle God has done in your life. Amen. What a miracle that the Lord has worked in your life. And I took him to a place. We was getting some suits, and the whole time he's just crying. And I thought, oh man, I've embarrassed him. I walked over to him. I said, man, I didn't want to embarrass you. I'm sorry. I just trying to help you out. He said, no, preacher, nobody's ever got me anything. Amen. Oh, what a miracle. A life that's changed. Al just stood and testified last Sunday. When he got through testifying, the whole church stood to their feet and cheered. This was another man who was homeless, living down on the river, that God gloriously saved. Right there in our altars, God delivered him. I'm telling you to watch the way that the Lord has cleaned him up. And I'm talking about first inside and then the outside. The way that God is working and moving in his life. What a miracle that salvation is. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm telling you, some folks, even now while I'm preaching, some of you may be thinking, well, I wonder what I'm going to eat for lunch. Oh, brother, that's my heartbeat. That ought to be the heartbeat of the church. That ought to be the passion that's inside of us. It's before this service is over this morning to see someone get up out of their pew, walk down to this church, even to the front of this church, give their heart and life to Jesus. Jesus and watched God turn their life around. I've watched people come in with the family all busted up, come to that altar and God heal the family and put it back together in a few seconds of time. I've watched them many times bound by meth, bound by drugs, bound by alcohol, kneel down, addicted, stand up a saint, hallelujah, delivered by the hand of God. Time would fail this morning to tell of all the miraculous salvations that God has done even in my lifetime. And many of you in this room right now could stand and say, preacher, I am a miracle. Many of you could point around and say, God delivered this brother, God delivered that sister, God put this family back together, and we never thought that it would happen. Oh, I tell you, I feel the presence of God in this room this morning. I'm making the pastor nervous and some of the people. Amen. You're not supposed to get this excited on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Oh, but let me tell you, in this room this morning, God wants to deliver you. He's got a miracle for your life. You don't have to walk out of this room the same way you came in. God wants to perform a miracle and change your life forever. Amen. Many times I've watched as people came, bound, knelt for a few moments of time, see the smile come across their face as they realize that God could save them. And as they stand to their feet, amen, that burden of sin being lifted off of their shoulders, there's no miracle like that miracle, friend. When God changes a life, hallelujah. I believe the best illustration of this is seen in Mark chapter 5 with the demoniac of Gadara. I mean, this man who's dwelling among the tombs, he's demon-possessed. But before Jesus ever gets out of the boat, it's a continuing tense here where Jesus is saying, come out of the man, you unclean spirit, come out of the man, you unclean spirit, before his foot ever hit the sand. Jesus was calling and commanding those demons to let that man go. And then when the group of people came around where this demoniac was sitting, they saw him clothed and in his right mind. This man who was living in the tombs, this man who was like Ted Bundy, he was eating the flesh of those who had died. He was sick, he was despicable, he was ungodly, but God saved him. I remember when I listened to James Dobson tell about how that he went into the prison and interviewed Ted Bundy. He told of how that all of his sickness and his perversion started by looking at pornographic magazines as a child. He became so possessed by demons that he cut body parts off of those who he had killed and ate human flesh. But in that prison, somebody told him about Jesus. That man who was so wicked and vile sat there with James Dobson weeping, saying, I know that they're going to kill me. I know I have a death sentence and I deserve it. I want to be put to death for the thing that I did because of what I did to so many families. But he said, I cannot believe that God would love someone like me. And I just sometimes am overwhelmed with the forgiveness of God and the way that Jesus has forgiven me. Oh, in a little cell in a jail down there in Pineville, they called it the hole. Brother Ryan, it was a little jail down there. A young man by the name of Billy, who had been abused as a child, couldn't read one word. But we gave him an old King James Bible and prayed for God to save him and fill him with the Holy Ghost. We came back the next week. He was speaking in tongues and reading that King James Bible. Amen. He was on death row for shooting 2 state troopers. He knew he deserved it. But on death row, God saved that young man, Billy. Oh, what a miracle. There's no greater miracle than a life that's changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If you're a walking miracle, would you lift your hands in this room right now and begin to praise God? Oh, would you begin to praise Him? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to have to preach the rest of this some other time because I feel the Lord stopping us right here. Amen. Somebody come to the music, if you would, please. One of you sisters, if you would, come to the music this morning. Amen. Will you lift your hearts all across this room right now and begin to worship Him, who is the one who performs miracles in people's lives. Hallelujah, hallelujah.